thank you, Joe, for your inspiration, for hearing these stories from our three departments. I hadn't planned on talking to you about this morning, but I want to tell you a couple of people who influenced my life for, I think, for the better, in particular what we're talking about here today. One of them was the first senior partner veterinarian that I ever worked for. As a young graduate veterinarian, I came out of school, like most everyone, thought I knew everything and thought I knew how to cure everything. And Jim Jackson was his name in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's still there. And when a particular difficult client would come in, and there are those, you deal with particularly difficult people on a daily basis, and they'll continue to be there. I would get so frustrated because I'd make my diagnosis and prescription, and they'd want to argue or some way about that, and just really got frustrated. And I'd go back kind of fuming into the back where he would be, and he'd said, he called me Doc. He said, Doc, he said, look at it this way. Those folks may have brought their pet in today for a particular problem, but they may have a bigger problem than their pet. Just think about what a kind word will do in helping to heal them, not only their pet, but to heal them as well. In his soothing nature and thinking about the ultimate needs of mankind, he helped me understand that oftentimes we may deal with some surface problems, but there may be some root issues down there a lot deeper there than we need to think about as we deal with particularly difficult people. The next person I want to tell you about who inspired me worked for me in our business in Bonaire. Brandy Webb, who's no longer living, she died at an earlier age, really of kidney disease, earlier than we would think normal. But I want to tell you about Brandy. Brandy was not a particularly attractive person. She was very large and to a point of having difficulty with mobility. She had suffered, frankly, a very tough life. Had a husband who was in the military. They had two small daughters who was assigned to England. And when he was ready to come back, he just wrote her a letter and said, I won't be coming back. And she raised those daughters by herself. She had worked at fairly menial jobs through her career. And when she came to work for me, she was had very little confidence and really was sort of a sad situation. But Brandy Webb had a unique ability. She was not technologically inclined. She was so fearful of the computer, but she learned to do those kind of things. And she didn't have much confidence in many of the things that she did, but she did have a gift. She had a gift for reaching out to people over the telephone. And if you called our business there, you felt good about calling, even if you had a problem. Brandy Webb had a unique ability to melt people on the telephone by just the way she approached them, just the way she listened to them, and the soothing tone in which she allowed them to rant and rave, and then just gently guided them through the process of helping them resolve their situation. And it helped me so much because if you've ever taken that second phone call from someone who's been irritated by the first person they talked to, you know how difficult that can be. Brandy Webb had this unique ability to put everyone in a calm demeanor, even when they had serious issues that I needed to help them with. There were significant issues that they had, but they were in a demeanor. They were in an environment. They were in a state of mind where we could talk to them and resolve whatever problem there is had been, because Brandy Webb prepared them from a loving outreach of letting them know they were important and that their issue was important and that we wanted to do everything we could to take care of it. In fact, it was kind of funny. You know, farm customers can be kind of grumpy sometimes, particularly when it's not raining like it is now. But when it was dry and farmers felt down, they'd call Brandy just to talk to her. And they wouldn't need me. They just called Brandy to be cheered up about that. And she had a unique way of making people feel like they were important and they were needed and that their issue was the most important thing in the world. Those are gifts, there's no doubt. And I really hadn't planned on talking to you about this, but when we came into office and started talking about principle-centered, customer-focused, results-driven government, I want to talk to you about those core values and how important they are to me. And we obviously get our core values over a lifetime, but if you'll allow me, I want to kind of go to a passage of the Bible that talks about this this morning before, briefly, as we talk about it. And just to let you know, this is not a fleeting thing for me. It's not a political issue. It's about truly serving people. Now, we know in voluntary state service, we're all volunteers. No one is compelled to work in the job that you're working in. Nobody has forced you. There's not indentured servitude about your job, about any job for state employees, and we're here because we've chosen to be here. And I want to begin just in what we find in kind of the freedom of Galatians 13, where Paul was talking to that church there. He says, "For you're called to freedom, brethren, but only don't use that freedom as an indulgence to yourself or to those desires and passions that you may have, but through love serve one another." And then he goes on, says, "For the whole law can be fulfilled in one word that we know about, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, I know those are significant issues, but when we take that to heart, he goes on to talk about some characteristics of that love that is there, and we would recognize these words, but he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And then he says something interesting. "Against such things there is no law." And it means those are things, those are principle-centered things that are so welcomed, and people appreciate that. You may have heard the tagline that Virginia is for lovers. I would like for Georgia to be known as the state where you're most loved. And wouldn't that be nice to have that that tagline for Georgia, and to earn that tagline that people feel like Georgia is a state where they're most learned, loved. And I want to thank all of you for your efforts in this. Joe, I want to particularly thank you for having the vision and the passion and the authenticity to lead this effort. Your previous career in serving customers across the counter in a fast-paced business, and your heart for service and for helping people shows through, and that's why we're all inspired that you're our leader in this effort, and I want to thank you. Thank you for that. You heard Greg Dozier talk about the excitement that can come about when you get to that tipping point, when the employees reach the point when they say, this is fun. Those characteristics from Galatians 5, we can't compel anyone to have love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control. You can't compel that. You must inspire that through the results that are inspiring to themselves, and that momentum of that flywheel begins at that point, and people understand how exciting, how thrilling, how fulfilling it is in order to meet people's needs and for people to walk away satisfied. And that's what we're looking for as we begin this process of Team Georgia ready to serve faster, friendlier, easier. When we get a group of customers, 9 million of them out there, who say, "I'm getting a good deal. I like this. I like this service. I feel very well treated," even though we see some of Georgia's finest in our blue and gray back here. Colonel Hitchens' goal is when that trooper walks away from that car, having written that ticket, that person understands they violated the law and they were treated with respect and dignity, even though they were cited. That's the goal. And corrections, as you know, we kind of chuckled about the clientele there, and even respecting that clientele. But Greg's team has they've reached the tipping point, and I just want to give you a number to think about. It's a measure of time, and I want you to think about, if I ask you to just sit here for a minute and we didn't say anything, do you know how long that minute stretches? A long time. What if I ask you to sit here for for an hour and 37 minutes and 54 seconds, and we wouldn't say anything. We'd just sit here. That would be a very long time, wouldn't it? Well, if you had gone to the Department of Driver Services Center in North Cobb County over a year ago, that's how long you would have waited even before you would have begun to be served. An hour and 37 minutes and 54 seconds. We're not making this up. You heard Greg say he's counting, and we've got a system that counted that. Now, we don't brag about that. What we brag about is that under the new regimen, under new leadership, under new values, if you had gone a month or so ago to that same service center, your average wait time would have been 5 minutes and 32 seconds. Now, that's what I call the new Georgia, and I do think that's worthy of an applause for Greg Dozier and the Department of Driver Services. That's a dramatic example, but when you look at his numbers, he's got them. They reflect those kind of changes all over the state. I just didn't pick out an aberration there. He's got those kind of changes overall. And I believe those kind of changes are taking place all over our state in all areas of state government. And I frankly think we're surprising people left and right, because as I get out among people, they tell me anecdotally of the experiences they're having in their service. When I go talk to local government leaders, they talk about how much Mike Beatty cares and how helpful he is. When I hear from people from constituent services, they talk about how Kay Robinson stayed on that job until she got an answer for them, and they appreciate that. And then the many, many other cases that I don't have time to talk about, I hear about you all because I invite people to tell me about the kind of service that they're getting. I think, Joe, to your leadership, we're even answering the phones better, and we're measuring that. We've decreased, in the first 6 months of 06, we've decreased unanswered calls by 3.3%. Folks, that doesn't sound as dramatic as Greg's numbers, but that's the trend, and we're just getting started in that effort. And we've decreased the speed to answer a call by a full minute and a half. How long did you find some people were staying on hold? What was the longest time? 56 minutes. You ever stayed on hold 56 minutes? That's a long time on hold as well. And can you imagine how fun it is to talk to that person that stayed on hold for 56 minutes? But from day one as governor, I set the goal for our administration to make Georgia the best managed state in the nation. I'm enhancing that goal today. I want to also be the best loving state in the nation. And I've made it clear that we want to be principle-centered, customer-focused, and results-driven. That's because that's how a good business is run, but it also inspires internally. We feel more fulfilled when we go home at night thinking that we have given good service, feeling as if we have. We've gotten feedback from our customers. That helps turnover. That helps attrition. That helps the outlook of people within the office, and it is contagious, and that's what Greg is experiencing there, and it makes all of us be better, feel better, and our quality of life is better when we're satisfied in our jobs. You heard the first customer service summit mentioned. Out of that summit came new plans to elevate the level of customer service experienced by our Georgia citizens, and we created the Governor's Office of Customer Service specifically to bring some strategy, bring some structure, bring some process, and bring some accountability to that effort, refocusing and recommitting ourselves to do exactly that. I'm delighted to tell you that we have agency heads and customer service champions from 42 agencies here today, 35 campuses of the university system, and 34 technical colleges involved in this process. Not all of those are represented here today, but that's who's joined up to say we want to do better. And you've all created plans to implement new customer service initiatives. And today, this is the call to begin action, to implement those plans. Planning is great, but when it comes to customer service, you can't tell that person on the phone that's waited 56 minutes, well, we're planning to do better. They don't want to hear it. They want it now, and that's what they've come to expect in our culture. We want to turn those plans into results. I'd like to address the people on the front lines who deliver that customer service to the public every day. You may be watching on this Team Georgia Connection. I hope that you are, our statewide employee internet. And I hope you'll take advantage of this common resource that can help us do our jobs more effectively. You are the ones who answer the phones. You're the Brandy Webbs out there that can make the difference in how someone feels about the service. You are that first impression that people never forget when they call to that office, the first person who answers the phone. You're the ones who provide the emergency services, who issue licenses, who educate our citizens. And I want you to know I'm proud of your service, and I'm honored to serve with you. And together, we want to commit ourselves to be better and better in serving one another. Today, I am asking you, all of us, from the leadership to the frontline employees, to make an extraordinary effort to change the way that people view state government. In the coming weeks, your agencies will be holding meetings to share their plans with you, and we need your help to turn their plans into actions and measurable results. Folks, this is not Spin Master. This is proving that we can treat our customers with respect and dignity in the service they deserve. And as Greg talked about the measurement accountability portion of it, you've heard me say before, I agree with Vince Lombardi. If you're not keeping score, you're just practicing. And how do we know we want to get better? Those accountability results, Greg, that was great for to tell us how that scoreboard can inspire us to be better. That's the way it does athletes on the field. If they're behind, they want to get ahead. If they want to get ahead, they want to maintain that lead. Our goal is to be number one and be the best in customer service and to be the best managed state and the best loving state. Customer service is about taking care of the real stakeholders in state government. That's the people of Georgia, the ones who pay all of our salaries, but the ones who deserve even more, but more than that. And it's about addressing real human needs. It's about being ready to serve. This is the goal that will unite us. We are over 100,000 strong, and we're going to work together to become one team with one mission, Team Georgia, ready to serve. Let's go get them.